Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. Still waiting on Shreya Slaughter. We'll send him a message and get him in here just as quick as we can. Paul, what do you make of all this change for KU football? They've changed coaches. They've changed off. They've added now co-offensive coordinators. They're changing defensive coordinators. Jalen Daniels is back. It's been a lot of movement, a lot of changes for a team that's going to have a ton of change on the roster as well. But you know, why wait, right? Like they got to get aggressive right out of the gates. I think that, you know, for the most part, and we'll see, you know, without knowing whether these coaches will work out or, you know, the resumes of these coaches, we've probably not really heard much about until they were hired. Making the changes, I think we can all agree, are necessary and good that they've done them.
Well, that is an excellent question, and there's a lot of little different things that go into an answer. One has to do with coaches. One has to do with players. One has to do with perception of where this program can be. And I didn't say where it is. I said where it can be. And there's going to take some belief based upon Coach Leipold to get this team to believe. It's been a tough year. It's been an up-and-down year. It's been a crazy year. And there's a lot of things going on with them. And the only thing that I can say is that a conversation was probably had between Coach Leipold and the quarterback. They both sat
down.
Jalen Daniels both sat down and probably had a conversation. Here's what we need to do. Who's going to do it. Because I don't think Jalen Daniels would say, I'm coming back until I know who's calling plays. Who's going to be in control of what we do? What will our offensive philosophy be? How will we handle this? How will we handle that? This situation, that situation. How do we do it? Who? I don't know that we're so worried about who's coming back and who's going to come back into the portal, because they're going to come and go. That's just the nature of the game anymore. And you have to assume that you're the University of Kansas in the Big 12. You're going to get some good players. And you have to assume that KU's going to have some NIL and that they can do some things with regards to getting players in. So with all that being said, most of this stuff had to have been cleared with Jalen Daniels. That's my take. But rightfully so, because if you want him back, and let's face it, you think you can get a better quarterback than him out of the portal? When he's playing well,
no.
When he's playing healthy, he can be as good a quarterback as there is in the Big 12, in my opinion. Now, that's saying a lot, because there's some really good quarterbacks. There's some really good quarterbacks in the Big 12. But you know what I mean? He's an excellent player. He would be enough to get you into a title game. Wouldn't you agree? And so if
next year, no, I wouldn't agree. Let's bring in Shreya Slaughter, because they have too much other roster turnover. But what do you make of that, Shreya? Because what Paul was just talking about, I think, is sort of the conversation. How much of some of these changes now with co-offensive coordinators, two new faces taking over, how much do you think Jalen Daniels had to do with these guys specifically? Because he's coming back, so you'd have to think quite a bit, right? Like, there has to be some synergy in the decision for Daniels to come back and these particular guys being brought in, which maybe was not the case last year when Grimes was brought in and we had some chemistry. So what is the inside on all of that?
I think you look at it, and in the position Jalen is in, he needs continuity, right? You want somebody that's been there with you since day one. Jim Zabrowski has been there with him since day one. It's a relationship that he's built. And it's something I was thinking about, and I didn't really quite understand it. And, you know, just talking to friends about it is, why didn't Kansas do this a year ago? Why did they bring in Jeff Grimes? Why was that done and essentially the season was lost was between trying to implement Grimes' system and Jalen getting back to normal. You know, you lost 5 or 6 games there, I think, at the beginning of the year that you might not have been able to do before. And I think the big thing is, I presume he came back for a couple of reasons. I heard continuity, familiarity, but I also think he has a level of influence at Kansas he was not going to get anywhere else. He can help with the recruiting. He can make sure he gets the right guys, and he can make sure Kansas, you know, picks up the right coaching staff that can kind of grow with him. I presume next year is going to be rebuilding year. Who knows? Maybe they pick up a bunch of great guys in the portal. But I think it's going to be a rough year for Kansas in the record column. But I think there's a way that Jalen Daniels comes out of next year feeling, you know, like he had a good year. And that starts with them getting the right guys in the transfer portal and him having the continuity that Jim Zbrowski brings.
I think you're right. And so then begs the question, I think it's pretty clear that he is familiar with and likes the two guys that are coming in to run the offense. Okay, that's half the equation. I can't imagine that Jalen Daniels has a whole lot of interest in coming in and being in a not talented offense. So the other part of that conversation must be, logically, right, if we can draw a line from point A to point B, that KU has every intention of going and spending some money in the portal to get some of these players to come in here. So where do they stand with this now, a record-setting portal year?
Yeah, you know, I think they have to, right? Like, at the end of the day, you have to replace 3 wide receivers. You've got to replace some offensive linemen. You've got to replace your star running back, which I think they might have done with the Iowa pickup. I don't know if he's Devin Neal good, but he can move a little bit. He's a little slow, but he kind of runs through the tackles and just looking at his highlights. But, you know, whatever they were saying in the negotiations with Jalen Daniels, I bet you they were, hey, we're going to pay you XYZ, and you can come back for next year, but we're going to go in the portal and pick up this guy and that guy and this guy, and you can be the head of recruiting and help us pick up that guy and this guy. Because I really think Jalen Daniels would not have come back if not for 2 things. Familiarity with the Kansas system and Jim Zbrowski, and them giving him some level of influence to go out there and get an offense to put him in a position to be an NFL quarterback by this time next year. Okay, right now, if Jalen Daniels had declared for the draft, I'm not sure he would have been drafted. Maybe we had the second half of the season that he had the entire year, I think we might be having a different conversation. I don't know if he'd be sticking around if he had the year, you know, those last 6 or 7 games that he had the entire year, you know? And I think it absolutely, for him, you know, I thought personally it doesn't make a ton of sense to come, you know, out there and come back to Kansas, because if your goal was to be an NFL quarterback, you need the continuity and talent, right? You need the talent most of all. And Kansas doesn't have that, but they have the continuity. So I think he's betting on the fact that Kansas is going to pick up XYZ from the transfer portal. We have no idea, right? Like, we see them picking up things, where they picked up a guy, you know, picked up Gage Keys last night or yesterday. He was in Auburn. Former Kansas Jayhawk, he decided to come back because he wasn't playing at Auburn. And he obviously, you know, felt like this was the right fit for him again. So there are guys who want to play for Kansas, and there are guys who want to play for Jalen Daniels. And I think Kansas is betting on that to rebuild on the fly, because this year is going to be a really testing year, I think, for everybody involved with the Kansas football program, because the expectations shouldn't be more than 5 wins, if that, right? Because we have no idea how they're going to refill those gaps that, you know, they've left behind. Kobe, Mello, Devin Neal, the wide receivers, the tight ends, like all that stuff has to be refilled. Linebacker room as well. I just don't know if you can turn around a program and expect them to be better than 5 wins this quickly in this day and age. Maybe. Maybe you can. I just don't. I mean, I don't know. Like, this is a lot of talent you have to fill in.
I got a question for you, Sharius. Yeah. And I don't remember anybody telling me or, you know, sharing this with me. How competitive is the University of Kansas with NIL money compared to the rest of the Big 12? I mean, I know they would probably be way behind if they were in the SEC or maybe even the Big 10, but how competitive is KU throwing around money like, say, Colorado or Arizona or Utah or name your Big 12 team? How competitive are they?
I think they're relatively competitive. It's not basketball, though. They're clearly the most competitive in basketball in the entire conference. I think it's them and BYU and K-State really at the top there. It is, you know, you have to be relatively competitive right now because there's so many gaps to fill in. There are obvious.
I think we just lost there. The connection with Shreyas for just a second. So we'll try to get that connection back. It's fascinating, Paul. I mean, the decision is fascinating. I think Shreyas is on to that for sure. Jalen Daniels comes back, but what's he coming back to? I think, you know, that's the question you have to ask. And the fact that he's coming back, it just tells me that they're going to be aggressive here. Like why would you do one thing without the other, you know?
Well, and I understand that, but let's not get all crazy about this. He's coming back because market conditions have probably forced that. When I say market conditions, I'm talking about the overall ability of the package that's being rented out here by other teams or the University of Kansas, potentially other teams or the University of Kansas. And Jalen Daniels has not exactly had what we call a Heisman career, is he? I mean, he's been up and down. He's been hurt. He's played well at times. He's played not so well at times. He's been injured some. So, I mean, you know, we've faced that almost on a yearly basis. Injury-wise, there's been something. I'm wondering if his value isn't as large as it can be at the University of Kansas versus, say, someone else. Because if somebody else were to say, let's go ahead and pull Jalen Daniels out of the portal and we'll get him into our program, the question would be, and I think rightfully so, it would be asked, well, how long does he last? Can he make it through a season? We don't know that he can make it through a season. Because I'm trying to rack my brain. I don't think he's made it through any of his seasons at the University of Kansas without some sort of injury or missed time or whatever the case might be. So, you know, it makes total sense to me. And I was not surprised in the least when it was announced Jalen Daniels would be coming back. Because I don't know that there were tons and tons of teams.
Oh, I think he'd have had suitors at the big contenders next year.
Do you think so?
While he may not have played his way into the NFL draft, and this is no offense to Will Howard, if Will Howard lands at Ohio State, Jalen Daniels could land somewhere. You know, that's with a little more certainty. And so that to me, like, look, as it currently stands, based on what we know, KU is losing on the roster. Okay. Like, as it currently stands, without knowing what they're going to do in the portal, but just what we know is graduating, KU will not have been the most talented team at the moment that Daniels would have been able to play for. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Now, could they be through work in the portal? Sure, they could. And I think the reason this is all so interesting to me, and we're getting reconnected with Shreyas. Jad's going to get him just on the IHOP hotline here. But that's what makes this so interesting to me, is because it screams to me that if he's coming back there, they have big designs on trying to get a ton of guys in through the portal. I think that's what we need to be watching here.
That's the value of Jalen Daniels, right?
No matter what you think of his, and we have Shreyas back, right, Shreyas, and then we can, you know, and then we can move on to basketball here. But as we look at Jalen Daniels and Kansas, without knowing what Kansas is going to do in the portal, Jalen Daniels would have had more talented teams knocking on his door than what Kansas currently looks like. I think the thing that should make Kansas fans encouraged by the return is that. And that would tell you that they have every intention of being hyper aggressive in the portal to bring talent back in.
No, absolutely. I heard there were some Big Ten schools looking at him, and there's genuine interest there. But this is what I'm saying. Familiarity and comfort that Kansas provides is something that I think no one else can provide. And on top of that, obviously, they have a competitive NIL offer for Jalen and other players, because they're going to have to, I think, to replace the talent that has been lost over the last year. I mean, you have so many guys who have left. I mean, there's nothing to do right now but just look in the portal and pick up that guy and that guy and that guy. so only so much internal camp talent exists. And there are going to be some guys that internally get moved up to positions, of course, right? They get promoted almost in a sense. And that's going to happen. But right now, for Kansas and their ambitions of having a competitive season next year, the bulk of the talent, I presume, will come from the transfer portal.
All right, Trius, let's talk KU hoops for a second then. Football, lots of changes. We'll watch them. Basketball, we've got this roster now. They have a really bad week. They go on the road and lose in two really brutal places to play true road games. They drop from number one to number 10. Here are the two things that concern me. A, that Hunter Dickinson looks like he's got a problem with his physical athleticism, and they're really going to need Flory Badunga to elevate quickly so they can get Hunter Dickinson more time off the court, defensively especially. And the other thing, and I wouldn't call this a concern, but I know this is a concern among fans, that we're getting flashbacks to last year, that when Dickinson isn't out there on offense, this team can't score. Those would be the two things I think we look at here with last week's stretch that I think that are looming over the program at the moment. What do you think of either of those things?
Yeah, I think those are all very real and valid concerns. I think this team is, you know, on paper, supposed to be a lot better than last year. And we've seen it in flashes, right? The win against Duke, the win against North Carolina, the win against Michigan State. But the last week was just kind of an abject disaster. Let's call it what it is, okay? There was no reason for this Kansas team to lose to Creighton and then your biggest rival, Missouri. To go out and get embarrassed at Columbia like they did, just to me, speaks to the magnitude of what college basketball is like. I just don't think there are enough guys that care about rivalries. I'm going to just say what it is, okay? And I showed up on the court. Bill Self should never have to say, we didn't get these guys ready to play. It's freaking Missouri. If you're not ready to play Missouri, who are you going to be ready to play? Come on. And on top of that, just the same issues are coming back from last year. Maybe it's not quite as bad. The three-point shooting is a little better. But they're not shooting enough threes. They're not getting to the line enough. I think the 360th in free throw rate or something like that. Like the fact that they managed to have a top 25 offense and adjusted offensive efficiency, according to KenPom, is a miracle in itself. But it keeps on dropping. And to me, that is really concerning. On top of that, Bill talking about not having an identity. And I don't know if you guys watched the press conference, but Bill is pretty diplomatic when you ask him about starting and reserves and stuff like that, usually, you know, and he was asked about, you know, do you feel like you have a fifth starter? And he was pretty honest about it. He was like, no, I don't think so. I know I want to win the job. I know, this thing, but this constant rotation of putting this guy in the lineup, putting that guy in the lineup, putting this guy in the lineup, it doesn't build continuity whatsoever. And it's clear the minute insertion up and down between all these different transfer guys has put them in a place where they're not playing with rhythm. Even a guy like Zeke Mayo, who was excellent coming off the bench the first couple of games, he's been pretty bad in the starting lineup. I think he's averaging like 8 points per game, like shooting less than 35% from three. And he's been their best transfer this year by far. It just feels like this balance between trying to make a team that already lacks spacing because of the core three, besides Hunter Dickinson, or the core three don't shoot threes, and then they've just added two new guys and say, oh, shoot the heck out of the ball, which they don't do because that's not a Bill Self offense. And it just feels like modern basketball meshed in with the transfer portal issue, meshed in with trying to play the way Bill Self plays, has just led to problems.
You know, so the timing, Shreyas, and we can finish with this as we're up against the hour here. The timing is interesting because it comes right before they essentially get a week off. What do you sense, you know, inside the program there, the urgency of this week? Like, I would imagine this is going to be a very unpleasant week for the players. They might not like that they have a week off right now because practice is probably going to be brutal. Does this team respond to that sort of thing?
I think so. I mean, if they don't respond to it, then what are we doing here? If the team filled with a bunch of veterans and experienced senior guys and all this other stuff, if they don't respond to that, they're not responding to anything. Let's call it what it is. There's two games left before conference play starts. Kansas, we still don't know who the fifth starter is. We don't know what the identity of this team is. Is the identity of this team is they're older and experienced? I don't think that's a good enough identity. We still don't know what the rotation is. Really is, because I really don't know if David Coit is going to be playing 15 plus minutes a game in conference play. I don't know if he's good enough to play that much amount of minutes. I mean, he certainly tries. He works. He does everything. We don't know if Ryland Griffin is going to give what they expected to get. We still don't know if AJ Storr is ever going to get to anywhere close to what he looked like at Wisconsin. Maybe he will, maybe he won't, but he's been pretty abject, I will say, disaster so far to start the season. He's had maybe one or two good games. The rest, I feel like he's not found any rhythm. His shooting splits are pretty horrid, and it just feels like he's out there on the court, doesn't really know what he's doing more often than not. I think to me, the most concerning part is this is a team that's older, and yes, they had transfers, but these transfers are older transfers for the most part. Why is it finding it so hard to gel between the offense and defense? The defense has looked good for the most part, but the offense is just, it is hard to watch.
It's been tough. They'll be back at it. And we think, look, they'll be turned around. I think this team is way more talented than last year. So it's a couple bad games. And you brought it up earlier. Important to remember that they also beat Duke. They also beat Michigan State. They also beat North Carolina. Bad week. True road games. Hopefully they gain from it. Trius, you can follow his work, the KC Star, reporting each and every day on KU football, KU basketball. You can follow him on social media. Sorry for the connection issue earlier, Shreyas. Glad you got in, though, and thanks for being here. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys, and apologies for the connection. I've been kind of dealing with that on and off this morning.
Yeah, it is what it is. We, you know, Paul, when you have these awesome ways to, you know, when you have all these awesome ways for people to take in the show, sometimes you got to pivot.
Live radio, my friend, live radio.
Phone call, but we do appreciate Shreyas is one of our guests that always joins us via video. That I know that means something to the folks watching on 12 News Connected on Facebook, on YouTube and X, all the different ways to take in the show. On the way out of this first hour, let's give another something away here. Paul, let's go Illuminations here. So here's what we've
got.
A 4-pack of vouchers to Illuminations at Botanica. It's courtesy of Sports Daily, KFH, and Odyssey Wichita. All you got to do to win, text the keyword SHINE right now to the short code 20357. That's SHINE to 20357. You can enter this once per day. We're going to draw these winners on Friday. It's 20357. The keyword is SHINE. Good luck, everybody. We're coming right back. Hour number two featuring Paul Mills, the bottom of the hour. We got more for you coming. It's Albrecht. It's Savage. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, everybody. We'll be right back.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.